Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Friday, October 11th. Let's welcome our guests for today's roundtable, Eric and Kate. Welcome to our roundtable discussion. Today we're exploring a fascinating study by anthropologists at Dartmouth College on the benefits of risky play in children. Let's start with the basics. What did this study reveal about the connection between risky play and child development?
Well, Ted, this study's got some real eye-openers. It turns out that letting kids take risks in play isn't just about them having a blast. It's like a secret sauce for their development. We're talking major boosts in confidence, motivation from within, and the ability to size up risks. It's not just about building muscles. It's about building brains, too.
While that might sound all sunshine and rainbows on paper, we need to get real about the dangers here. The study itself drops a bombshell. Monkey bars are responsible for a whopping 7% of forearm fractures in kids. Are we seriously
Hold up, Kate.
Considering...
You're missing the forest for the trees here. Those fractures, they're not the end of the world. Kids bounce back fast and their bones heal like magic. The real gold here is in the long-term psychological benefits. We're talking about kids growing into adults who can handle stress like champs and don't freak out at every little bump
in the
road.
But we're not just talking about little bumps, Eric. These are potentially serious injuries. What about the case of Lucy, the Australopithecus afarensis who likely died from a fall? Shouldn't we be doing everything
Whoa there,
in our
Kate.
Power to-
You're comparing apples and oranges and prehistoric ones at that? Lucy took a nosedive from about 43 feet up. We're talking about playground equipment here, not deadly cliff faces. It's like comparing a kiddie pool to the Mariana
Interesting
Trench.
Points, both of you. Let's dig deeper into the evolutionary aspect. Why do anthropologists believe this type of play is so important?
It's all about our primate roots, Ted. Picture our ancestors swinging from tree to tree. They needed some serious confidence in their physical skills just to survive. This study suggests that when little Timmy feels the urge to climb that jungle gym, it's not just him being a daredevil. It's millions of years of evolution, whispering, go on, test those limits. It's like our DNA is giving kids a gentle nudge to build the skills they need.
That's all well and good, but newsflash. We're not living in trees anymore. Shouldn't we be adapting our parenting to the 21st century instead of...
Now hang on a second, Kate. It's not about living in the past. It's about recognizing that these instincts aren't just some evolutionary leftover. They serve a real purpose in how kids grow and learn. The study shows that even tiny tots as young as 4 can size up risks and know when something's too much for them. That's not outdated. That's incredibly
sophisticated. But why take the risk at all? We have safer alternatives for physical activity that don't put children in danger. There are plenty of ways for kids to get exercise without climbing dangerous equipment.
Because safe isn't always better, Kate. Sometimes it's downright boring. The study found that playgrounds with equipment that really challenges kids got them moving 12% more. We're talking turbocharged activity here, and it's not just about burning energy. It's improving their motor skills, making them more nimble, better balanced, and coordinated. It's like a full-body upgrade package.
Let's look at this from a historical perspective. The study mentions that the jungle gym and monkey bars were invented in 1902. How does this relate to our understanding of child development over time?
Now, this is where it gets really cool, Ted. The inventor, Ted Hinton, no relation to you, I assume, he was way ahead of his time. He used evolutionary reasoning to back up why these contraptions were useful. It was a total first in U.S. patent history, using our caveman past to justify a modern gizmo. Talk about thinking outside the box.
That's ancient history, Eric. We're talking over a century ago. Our understanding of child safety has come a long way since then. We've moved away from these dangerous playground elements for good reason. Just because something's
Hang
old
on there,
doesn't
Kate.
Make it.
Have we really come a long way or have we gone too far? This trend towards ultra-safe playgrounds might be backfiring big time. The Dartmouth study is suggesting that by bubble wrapping our kids and not letting them explore their limits, we might be doing more harm than a simple broken bone.
I find it hard to believe that a lack of monkey bars could seriously impact a child's well-being. Surely there are safer ways to build confidence and resilience. We don't need to put our kids in harm's way to help them grow.
This debate reminds me of the adventure playground movement that began in Denmark in the 1940s. Can you elaborate on this historical example and its relevance to our discussion?
Absolutely, Ted. Adventure playgrounds, or junk playgrounds as they were sometimes called, were the brainchild of landscape architect C.T. Sorensen. Picture this, a playground where kids could go wild, building and creating with all sorts of materials, even using real tools. It was like giving kids the keys to their own little kingdom. The whole idea was to let kids have more freedom and responsibility in their play. It was revolutionary.
That sounds incredibly dangerous. Giving children access to tools and junk. How is that relevant to modern parenting? We can't just let kids run around with hammers and nails.
Hold your horses, Kate. These playgrounds were a massive hit, and for good reason. They were like incubators for creativity, problem solving, and risk assessment. Kids weren't just playing, they were learning life skills. And get this, they're still super popular in Europe and Japan. Maybe they're on to something.
But surely there were accidents and injuries in these so-called adventure playgrounds. You can't tell me that letting kids loose with tools and junk didn't result in some trips to the emergency room.
You'd think so, right? But here's the kicker. Studies have shown that these adventure playgrounds actually have lower accident rates than your run-of-the-mill playground. It turns out when kids can see real risk, they're more careful. It's like they've got their own built-in safety radar.
I still can't see how this justifies exposing children to unnecessary dangers. We've moved beyond these outdated ideas for a reason. Modern parents know better than to let their kids
play with
junk. Have
we really moved beyond it, though? Or have we just moved in the wrong direction? The Dartmouth study is suggesting we might have gone overboard by trying to remove all risk. We're potentially stunting our kids' development. It's like we're so focused on protecting them that we're not letting
them grow. Let's look to the future. How might these findings impact parenting and playground design moving forward? Eric, what's your vision for the future of children's play?
I'm seeing a playground revolution, Ted. Imagine playgrounds that bring back the challenge, but with a modern twist. We could have equipment that lets kids take graduated risks, like leveling up in a video game, but in real life. It's not about throwing safety out the window. It's about finding that sweet spot where kids can push their limits without going overboard. The result? A generation of kids who are confident, resilient, and ready to take on whatever life throws at them.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster, Eric. I see a future where we use technology to provide safe, virtual experiences that mimic risky play without the actual danger. VR and AR could offer the thrill without the risk. Why put our kids
Hold
in
up,
harm's
Kate.
Way when
You're
we
missing
have...
a crucial point here. The physical aspect isn't just a side effect, it's the main event. The study showed that this type of play jacks up bone density by 5 to 10% in kids. That's not something you can get from strapping on a VR headset. We're talking about building strong bodies, not just strong
avatars. Technology can provide other ways to build strength and coordination without risking serious injury. Why take unnecessary risks? We can design safe, controlled environments that still challenge kids physically without the dangers of traditional playgrounds.
Interesting perspectives. Now let's consider the potential societal impact. How might these different approaches to play affect our society as a whole in the future?
If we embrace risky play, we could be looking at a game changer for society, Ted. Imagine a generation of adults who aren't afraid to take calculated risks, who have the confidence to innovate and the resilience to bounce back from setbacks. We could see a boom in entrepreneurship and creativity. It's like we'd be training a whole generation of go-getters right from the playground.
Or we could see a spike in childhood injuries, leading to increased healthcare costs and potentially long-term physical issues, not to mention the psychological trauma of serious accidents. Is that really the kind of
Come
society
on, Kate.
We want to...
You're painting a worst-case scenario here. The study shows that most injuries from this type of play heal quickly and completely. We're not talking about sending kids into a danger zone. We're talking about letting them learn and grow through manageable risks. The long-term benefits far outweigh any short-term bumps
and bruises. I disagree. A risk-averse society is a safer society. We should be focusing on nurturing our children's minds, not testing their physical limits. There are plenty of ways to build confidence and resilience without putting kids in harm's way.
But nurturing their minds includes letting them explore their physical capabilities, Kate. The study linked early vigorous exercise and risky play with a strong internal locus of control. That's fancy talk for believing you're in the driver's seat of your own life. That's huge for mental health. We're not just building strong bodies. We're building strong minds and characters, too.
There are safer ways to build that belief. We don't need to put our children in harm's way to achieve it. We can teach resilience and confidence through other means that don't involve physical risks.
Well, folks, it looks like we've reached the end of our discussion, but certainly not the end of this debate. It's clear that the question of risky play in child development is a complex one, with passionate arguments on both sides. As we move forward, it's crucial that we continue to examine the evidence and strive for a balance between safety and healthy development. Thank you, Eric and Kate, for your insightful contributions to this fascinating topic.